on Wednesday, we offer the Mass for the grace of a happy death. Shortly after that, Sister Barbara died. The Lord answered our prayer. Yesterday, we offered a Mass for the dead, certainly for Sister Barbara. Today, we're using the Mass in honor of Our Lady at Mount Carmel. And I, as I said at the beginning, I'd like to use this as an opportunity to reflect on Mary, Mary in the Church, Mary in our ongoing life, especially through the lens of Sister Barbara's own spiritual journey. She would not want the Mass to be about her, and the Mass isn't about her, it's about worship of God. But she would like the gift that she has received to be shared. And that's what I hope I can do here. When I was looking at the liturgy yesterday and I saw that the gospel was an invitation to the heart of Jesus, come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened, come to me who meek and humble of heart. I said, well, this Mass yesterday was about Jesus. Today, because it's the feast of Our Lady Mount Carmel, we focus on Mary, and then tomorrow, the funeral Mass. Then I noticed that the first reading of today's Mass is the passage about the Passover lamb. This combination of the lamb and Mary made me think of this little collection of artworks that Sister Barbara personally did. She was not an artist, but she had an eye for art that was meaningful, and she put together this little collage about maybe 4 or 5 years ago, so long before her strokes. Three images that were especially important to her, and then an inscription. So here there's an image of a lamb bound on an altar, ready to be slain. Here's an image of Our Lady, an icon of Our Lady. And here's an image of the two apostles, Peter and John, running to the tomb on Easter morning. And the inscription says, "Adoration and glory belong by right to the Lamb who was slain." I know you can't see this very well, but if you ever went to Sister Barbara's office, she had this framed, put on her wall, facing her desk, and then after her stroke, when she was bedridden, we kept it on the wall and we put it under the crucifix there so that she could gaze on it, and she often did. So this is a kind of representation of her spirituality. Let me try to explain it a little bit. Let's start with the lamb. We read in today's first reading the story of the Passover lamb. The sacrifice of the lamb, the blood of the lamb at the time of the Passover is what saved the Israelites from destruction. That was a foreshadowing of the mission of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. This image here, Sister Barbara told me one time, is her favorite image of Jesus. I remember when she told me, because I said, oh, you know, most people think of the Holy Face or the Sacred Heart of Jesus or a crucifix or something. And this is a lamb. And she said, oh, this is my favorite. Now, sometimes, as you know, Sister spoke strongly and she sometimes exaggerated. So she might say, this is my absolute favorite. And then the next day she might not say that. So I don't know. But I remember she did say this is her favorite image of Jesus. And if you look at it closely, you get this sense of the absolute abandonment of this lamb. It's tied up, its feet are all tied together. It's still alive, but it's certainly ready for sacrifice. It's an image of self-offering, of pouring oneself out. And that does represent Jesus Christ, the Lamb of Sacrifice. Sister Barbara knew Jesus personally for a long time. She met him when she was a child. She had personal experience of relationship with him when she was a young girl. And she always knew her friendship with him. She didn't tell people about that as a child. She was not a religious person. She wouldn't have been seen as someone who had a great love for Jesus, but it was in her from her early years. As she grew in her relationship with him, she came to appreciate more and more who he is, the Lamb of Sacrifice. And as she after she met Father Francis and started to grow in the Anuam spirituality, she appreciated the suffering servant, the self-offering, the complete, the total self-abasement, the self-emptying, which brings salvation to the whole world. So friendship with Jesus is the foundation of Sister's own spiritual life, and that's what she wanted to give to everyone, friendship with Jesus. Let's turn to this image of Mary. This icon here is Our Lady of Vladimir, sometimes called Our Lady of Kiev. It's an icon, Eastern tradition. Sister Barbara, often said that she did not have that close a personal relationship with Mary for most of her life. She knew Jesus, she certainly loved Mary, respected her, prayed the rosary, had great appreciation of Mary, but it wasn't that personal to her as her relationship with Jesus was. She told me one time when she was a little girl, she wrote down on a little piece of paper that she did not want Mary to appear to her. And she put it inside a little hole in the statue of Our Lady that the family had in their hall. She did not want Mary to appear to her. And Mary honored that. Sister Barbara had this idea it would be terrible to have to be responsible for an apparition. But her relationship with Mary grew, and she did have some experiences of Mary. You know, her hearing the words of Mary at the foundation of Anuam, put flesh on his word, put flesh on the word, which is a Marian charism, and that's Sister Barbara's charism, put flesh on the word. When she came to the Philippines in 92, early on, when she and Sister Carol were in Binondo, there was a visit of Our Lady of Manawag. It must have been 92 or 93. Our Lady of Manawag came on a pilgrim image, and Sister Barbara had an experience of that image of Our Lady of Manawag walking on above the heads of the people in the congregation. Our Lady of Manawag to her became a living image. It was a personal experience, but she said later, it wasn't as if Mary came to her. She just became aware of Mary's living presence in the church. So, and that experience of Our Lady of Manawag is part of what led us, in other words, to Pangasinan, and I was ordained in Pangasinan, so I'm one of the fruits of that relationship, Our Lady of Manawag. Much later in her life, maybe she was about 80, 81, she was reading a magazine, and on the cover of the magazine was this image of Our Lady of Vladimir. And she had this experience of Mary coming to her. That's how she said it. I don't know what it meant. She said, Mary came to me. She didn't say anything. She didn't give her any instruction. She just recognized in this image Mary personally present to her. And it was at that stage that she said, now she has a close, personal relationship with Mary, like she had with Jesus all her life. So that's why she put this image on her collage. So image of Jesus, Good Friday image of Mary, Mary and Jesus, the icon of the Mother of the Lamb, Sister Barbara called it, the Mother of the Lamb. So you would think Mary comes first and then Jesus, but in her experience, she met Jesus and then Mary. This third image, which moved her so much, is Peter and John, Easter morning. They've heard from Mary Magdalene that the tomb is empty, and they're running to the tomb. So they're running in faith, in fear, in questioning, in desire to know and to make known the resurrection. And Sister Barbara saw in this the journey of the church. These are the apostles running not only to the tomb, but also running into the world to make known the resurrection. So you have here Good Friday, here Easter Sunday. Here the sacrifice of the Lamb, here the victory of the Lamb in the resurrection. And the inscription says, this is taken from the book of Revelation, adoration and glory belong by right to the Lamb who was slain. Now today's the feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. I hope you don't mind to tell a few stories about Sister Barbara because we're honoring her. Sister Barbara, when she was a young adult woman, she was living in California, working in the world and enjoying life, single woman. She was active in the church. I mean, she was in the Legion of Mary and active in her parish. But at one point, a turning point in her life, she read a book, and she read it in an unusual way because she wasn't prone to sit down and read a lot. I mean, she read all the time, but she didn't sit down and read books. But one day, she felt moved to close the door, take the phone off the hook, and kind of seal herself into her apartment and think. And she picked up this book, which she had not been planning to read. It was, I think the title is, My Beloved or the Beloved, the Story of a Carmelite Nun. So today's the Feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, so I want to mention this story of a Carmelite nun. And Sister Barbara, telling the story much later, said that she read that whole book. She read all night and read the whole book, but she has no memory of anything in the book. She looked it up years later. The book meant nothing to her. But the experience of reading the book gave her the conviction of two things: her call to the interior life and her call to celibacy. That was firmly planted in her that night. This would have been about 1959 or 1960. She was in California. Interior life and celibacy. And these two things, which came to her in somehow the reading that book in the spirit, she knew that was her call. It was not a call to religious life. It was not a call to any particular community. Interior life and celibacy. So she had these three things now: friendship with Jesus, interior life, and celibacy. Well, she thought that she would live the interior life and celibacy still working in the world. She didn't think it would mean she'd have to become a nun or anything. She had no interest in being a nun. But her priest friends or spiritual director said, well, you can't just live the interior life and celibacy without a community, without some formation, without support. So at one point she went to a Carmelite monastery in California, thinking the book was about the Carmelite nun. She wants to be in it, live the interior life. That sounds like a Carmelite, doesn't it? That Carmelites, that's their specialization, to live the interior life or the contemplative life. And she told the story that when she met the Mother Superior or maybe the vocation director, I don't know who it was, and she explained, Sister Barbara explained this inner conviction of what God was asking her to do, the Carmelite nun responded, we pray for priests. You have zeal for souls. Which Sister Barbara said, that was a very funny thing to say, as if those two can't go together. But anyway, that Carmelite nun kind of closed the door on her. That's not it. Our charism is not yours. We pray for priests. You have zeal for souls. So that's why she never became a Carmelite. So anyway, that's part of the story. You know, her journey, she did search for a way to live how she was called to live, and she eventually joined, I think it was also in 1960 or 61, she joined, in 1960, joined the Servants of the Blessed Sacrament because of the devotion to the Blessed Sacrament. And that was another lifelong love of Sister Barbara, Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. So that's, Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament is here, the Lamb who was slain, adoration and glory. Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, glory belonged by right to the Lamb who was slain. So it's a little sharing on Sister Barbara, but also an instruction to us about how God works in our life, how Mary leads us to Jesus, how Mary wants us to put flesh on the Word as she does, how the whole of the spiritual life is a journey to communion with God. That is a journey of adoration. Adoration and glory belong by right to the Lamb who was slain. Joining in the sacrifice of Christ at this Mass, we offer this sacrifice for the repose of the soul of Sister Barbara. We also pray that all of us who are her spiritual children can grow through her intercession for us as we pray for her.